Oh, man. Are you watching on CBS Sports Network? What a beautiful day in L.A. Incredible. Nice to have you here. If you're watching the simulcast, great to have you. If you were listening on terrestrial radio, good to have you. If you were listening on satellite radio, good to have you. If you were streaming the program, great to have you. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So let me set hour number three up for you. We are efforting Astros outfielder Michael Brantley. I'm really eager to run him down. Have not had him on the show in a few years. So we're looking to do that. And that's going to come up momentarily, hopefully. I did not finish my thoughts at the end of hour number two on Gardner Minshew II. And I definitely want to finish what I started there. Love this guy. He's getting his shot in Jacksonville. Came off the bench and had a great first game. But again, like he said, part of his philosophy is sometimes you just got to say, screw it. We talked about Antonio Brown and the situation with the Patriots in hour number one and how Bill Belichick handled that. Predictably, as you'd expect, terribly. Tom Brady was no better. And again, I want to be very clear about this. I understand that there are legal issues and ramifications. They can't answer every single question, but there are some questions that they can answer and they should answer.
Things that don't involve me, don't involve me.
It's Tom Brady. When asked about Antonio Brown, quote, things that don't involve me, don't involve me. Yeah, but they did. They did involve you. Not long ago. About a day before.
Miami's a good team.
But they're really not, right? All right, more on that in a minute. As promised, we are joined by an outfielder for the Houston Astros. He is a four-time All-Star. He is a Silver Slugger. He's third in the American League in batting average for the season, hitting .323, 21 home runs, 85 runs batted in. Houston is in first place in the AL West. They're just a half game back of the Yankees for the American League's best record, and they're at home against Oakland this evening. Michael Brantley is my guest. Michael, it's been a minute or two, but it's great to have you back on the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Great. Listen, can you go back to the offseason first? When you signed with Houston, I know how pumped manager A.J. Hinch was to bring you in. What was it like for you, and how excited were you to have the opportunity to be with this team?
Yeah, I was very excited. One of the first things that I sought out for in free agency was having a chance to win and go into a contender that had a potential to go to the World Series. He worked so hard throughout the whole season. The goal is to get to that postseason and ultimately, win a ring. And I ended up here in Houston. They welcomed me with open arms, and kind of just went from there.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm curious what it's like because you're an incredibly well-respected guy around Major League Baseball, but at the same time, as you've said, Cleveland was all you had known. So what's it like when you walk into a new clubhouse with new teammates for the first time?
Yeah, it was really different for me. I never had that situation. I got traded in the minor league, never in the major league, so it was just a different atmosphere, but at the same time, when I walked in, the guys were, excited to have me, so it made me feel good that I was there. I was excited to be with, this great group of guys in this lineup and the pitching staff and the whole team, and, just playing against them, for the last couple of years. You had to play to beat Houston. So now joining such a great team, I was just trying to be myself and fit in, as fast as possible and be the best team that I could be.
Michael Brantley is joining us. So the Astros win the World Series in 2017. A lot of organizations might say, that's cool. That's what we set out to do. Maybe guys get a little complacent. Maybe guys get a little fat or happy, or they start getting selfish. But from the outside, that's not how it looks. How would you describe the attitude and the mentality of that clubhouse?
Yeah, every day we show up, we expect to win, and we work hard, day in and day out. That's one of the things that I think pushed me so hard this year, being around such great players, throughout our entire lineup and seeing how hard they work. It only makes you want to work harder. At a high level day in and day out, and what they expect and how high our expectations are. It keeps you focused. It keeps your mind raised throughout the entire season. And, it makes it fun to come to work. Hitting in the middle of this lineup, it's fun every day because you never know exactly what's going to happen, but you know that it's going to be, an enjoyable game.
We're talking to Michael Brantley. Michael, I'm really happy to have you on. The connection is not great. I'm going to try and fight through this for a minute. But, you know, one of the things that keeps coming up is the fact that you are so steady and so consistent and so rock solid that no matter what happens, Joe Smith is an example. He played with you in Cleveland. He's back with you in Houston. He said, quote, he's the same guy every day, whether he's finishing third in the MVP or he's scuffling a little bit. End of quote. It's such a long season. It can be a grind. How do you manage to stay even keeled throughout the ups and downs of that long season?
Well, I just, you know, it is a long season. I know that you're going to have, you know, good stretches and bad stretches. And the more even keeled, you know, even ahead of you can stay, the better off you're going to be. This game is, you know, mental grind along as a physical grind. You got to stay focused mentally every day because you never know what's going to happen when you step on the field, but you know, with the right attitude, with the right mindset, with great teammates around you, good things are going to happen more than not.
You know, like as another example, George Springer has said that in the past, he'd been kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-his-pants guy. He would do things before games without maybe a lot of rhyme or reason, but he's taken notice of your routine, and he's learning from it. How did you first develop your pregame routine, and how important is it to have that consistency for you?
Well, for me personally, I know that if I prepare the same way every day, day in and day out, I gave my teammates all I had, and I can lay my head down, you know, on the pillow at night and go to sleep comfortable, even if I went over 5 and I didn't have the best game, because I knew I prepared the right way. For me personally, if I didn't prepare the right way, I just kind of showed up, went through the motions, and just played the game. And, you know, I didn't do it. I feel like I let my teammates down, I let my coaches down, I let, you know, my Houston Astros fans down. So for me, I just want to make sure I prepare the right day every day and go out there and give it all I got. And with George, you know, we were just talking about routine and getting into something that makes work for him. And he's having a phenomenal year. And it's fun to watch him lead off for us every day.
We're talking to Michael Brantley. You know, you touched on your rotation. When you've got a rotation that already includes 2 Cy Young candidates, and then the front office makes a deal for Zach Greinke at the trade deadline, what kind of a message did that send everybody about how serious this whole organization is about winning another ring?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal when, you know, you set out for spring training. A lot of teams talk about it, and, you know, everybody has the same goal. But then when you add pieces like Greinke and Sanchez and Bivigini at the deadline, it just shows us how hard, you know, how dedicated they are as well and how much they believe in us. And that goes a long way. You know, we're looking excited to finish out the season, bring the season strong and get to the playoffs and, you know, go from there.
Michael Brantley joining us for a few more moments. Michael, what was it like to go back to the All-Star game in Cleveland and get that long-standing ovation from the fans? What kind of memories do you have of that night?
That's one of my greatest moments I ever had on a baseball field. To go back to somewhere where I gave, you know, my family, played in front of those great fans for a long time, and the dedication and support they gave me through my ups and downs in my career there, it will never be forgotten. To get a standing ovation like that, just to hear the praise and the thank yous, and, you know, come back and, you know, how much we miss you, to be around the clubbies, the doctors, the medical staff, you name it, just all the people that helped me out through my entire career to get me to this point. It was kind of just to go back there and, you know, just say thank you again for me personally. And that's, like I said, it's one of the most special moments I ever had in my career. I'll be able to tell my kids about it, my grandkids hopefully one day about it. And it was phenomenal.
Michael Brantley joining us for another moment or two. I mean, Michael, it's pretty clear how much you meant to them and how much they meant to you. Everybody who was part of the organization in Cleveland talks about how painful it was and how sad it was to lose you in the offseason. For example, Terry Francona talked about how he would probably cry when he saw you in a different jersey and how special it was to be with you for as long as you two worked together. What was it like to play for him?
It was phenomenal. You know, I thank him so much for allowing my career to blossom the way it did and grow the way it did. You know, he always expected the same thing out of me every day. I show up, you know, with the right mentality, play game. That's all he ever asked, and he made it really easy because I knew whether I did good or bad that I was going to line up. He was always taking care of me and giving me certain days off, and, you know, the communication level was great. It's such a great relationship. He's so well respected in the game for so many reasons, and just not for that. And I can't thank him enough for what he did for me in my career.
He's a 4-time All-Star. He is a Silver Slugger. He is 3rd in the American League batting average. Houston is in 1st in the AL West, and they are right behind the Yankees for the American League's best record. Houston at home against Oakland this evening. Michael Brantley, my guest. Michael, great to get caught up. I really appreciate that so much. Good to have you back on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
You too, Michael. Thank you. This guy is so well-respected around Major League Baseball. Beloved, really. And C-Town, I know you already know that. He is having an outstanding year for the Astros. I can't say enough about the Astros. As I mentioned, I want to just reiterate this really quickly. They win it all in 2017, and it would be easy to kind of sit back and say, yeah, how you like us now? This is what we set out to do. We got it done. Maybe guys start to look inward. I mean, it's one thing to chase. It's one thing to get there. But staying there is something totally different. But from an organizational standpoint, they never accepted that. Never got fat, never got happy, never got complacent. Just keep doubling down, going after guys. It's amazing. Zach Greinke, another great example of that. That's a great organization. A great sports, not just baseball, but a great sports organization. Management all the way down to the field. And guys that want it really badly. And a lot of character. A lot of character. Starting with A.J. Hinch and the guys throughout that clubhouse. Can't not respect what they're doing. And they're right behind the Yankees for the American League's best record. So my thanks to the Astros and Michael Brantley. Great to have him back on. I want to get kind of caught up on this clock. Let me just finish this thought on Gardner Minshew the second. And again, there is no first before it gets too far away. So I mentioned the guy comes off the bench. Nick Foles goes down. And he completes his first 13 passes, an NFL record. And then he finishes the game 22-25. The only three incompletions were credited as drops. And this guy's rolling in like it's nothing at all. But as he mentioned, part of his philosophy is sometimes you have to have a bit of just screw it. So seeing him at his press conference yesterday, did that seem like a guy who's about to make his first NFL start? Because now he is. Did that seem like a guy who was in awe of the situation? Did that seem like a guy who was sweating anything at all? Hell, as he just realized, not so much, because he is now the longest tenured Jags quarterback in the Jags QB room.
Yeah, that's what, man, I was joking out there. I was like, dang, I've been long here longer than anybody right there. Like, that's kind of crazy. Like, they're asking me questions. I'm like, golly. But no, it's awesome, man. Great, great guys, young guys. We have a lot of fun. Look forward to, you know, challenging each other, helping each other, and, you know, winning games together.
That's why I love this guy so much. He's making his first NFL start. He's a rookie. He's got to come right in. I mean, shouldn't that guy be tripping? Shouldn't that guy be stressed out? He's just laughing. He's having a great time. He loves it. Like, all of a sudden, I realized I'm the most tenured guy in the quarterback room. They're asking me questions. And then most importantly, he even gave a shout-out to all of us communications majors.
Oh, I don't know. He's kind of in his own deal. And I got a communications degree. I mean, I know all y'all know about him. Yeah, so, shoot, I belong in this room more than that one.
I belong in this room more. Like he's saying, I should be more like you. I'm more one of you than I am one of them. Normally, I hate that local fawning media or national fawning media. But had I been in that room, I would have been up front laughing and guffawing with the rest of them. Man, the dude is so cool and he's so funny. I mean, hell yes. Way to be, Beowulf. The Gardner Minshew II train is pulling out of the station right about now. Either get on or get the hell off. If you're thinking about getting on, do it right now. Because as Gardner Minshew II himself would say, sometimes you got to have a little bit of screw it. And this dude already is a legend. He came on this show last year, and this is so 2018. But we talked about the power that lies within the stash.
Oh, the power of the stash is unparalleled. It's something else. It has a life of its own.
All right, so who are some of the mustaches that came before you that you respected?
But then, you know, ultimately, the greatest of all time of mustaches, my personal icon, Burt Reynolds. Rest in peace. That is definitely the, he is the gold standard when it comes to mustaches.
I mean, so you knew right then how cool that guy was. And again, this goes back to Mike Leach saying, hey, listen, do you want to go be a backup quarterback at Alabama, or would you like to lead the nation in passing? And Gardner Minshew II said that. I'll take that. So he went there and he did that. and paid homage to the GOAT, Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds did have the best stash. I still respect a mustache. I mean, I'm a goatee guy, but like when I see somebody with a mustache, man or woman, on the street, it's like seeing a celebrity. At least I want to get, not you, Hawk, but it's like seeing a celebrity. Like, I want to get their autograph. Like, damn, dude, you got a mustache. That's cool. Hey, man, can you sign this? Can I take a picture with you? Can I take a picture with you? That's pretty cool. At Wells in the 360 tweets, welcome to the party, pal.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Signed Wazoo fans to Jaguar fans. No, Wazoo knows. At Machmoda tweets, hey, Minshew, give me back my stash.
Give me back my stash.
Signed Adam Hawk. Hawk is clear evidence that just having a stash does not make you cool. Gardner Minshew is cool. He's cool with or without the stash. He's just cooler with the stash. Hawk, you know, I mean this in a positive sense, but he was kind of a dope with the stash and without it. He's our dope, but a dope nonetheless. Wah! All right, so we've done the interviews, all three of them, and there's time for you to get through. I'm looking for a good phone call. All you have to do is get through that dope, Adam Hawk, to get to me to get on the air. I've got Michael Young coming up on episode 95. In fact, it's already live. It's done. Don't listen to it right now. Listen to it after the show. Listen to it at the gym. Listen to it during your commute. I'm going to give you a taste. If you need more of a reason, and you don't, you should not need a take or a reset to listen to that. But if you do, I've got it for you. That's coming up next. I had a great, great sit down with former MLB-er Michael Young. I'll reset that for you. Eager to get back to New York. I will be on the NFL on CBS on Sunday. If you don't mind, make a note of that. Look for that. And we will come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so I mentioned earlier there was not a statement from Bob Baffert, but there is now. This is via CBS LA. I'm reading from the statement. Bob Baffert, quote, I unequivocally reject any implication that scopolamine was ever intentionally administered to Justify or any of my horses. Test results indicating trace amounts of the drug were undoubtedly the result of environmental contamination caused by the presence of Jimson weed in feed, a naturally growing substance in areas where hay and straw are produced in California. In addition, I had no input into or influence on the decisions made by the California Horse Racing Board. Following the Santa Anita Derby, Justify raced in three different jurisdictions during his Triple Crown run, Kentucky, Maryland, and New York. He passed all drug tests in those jurisdictions. I call on the relevant testing agencies in those jurisdictions to immediately release information related to Justify's test results. Justify is one of the finest horses I have had the privilege of training, and by any standard, is one of the greatest of all time. I am proud to stand by his record and my own. All right, so that's an unequivocal denial. He says, I reject any implication that scopolamine was ever intentionally administered to Justify, and talked about how it does end up in the feed. And there were trace amounts, and that they ran in three different jurisdictions during the Triple Crown run. Kentucky, for the Kentucky Derby, Maryland, and New York. And said, go check the test results there. All right, so this is not surprising. That's what you'd expect him to say. Do you buy it or not? 1-800-636-8686. He also made the point of saying, I had no input or influence on the decisions made by the California Horse Racing Board. That's possible, too. Of course, the other side of that would be that everybody in this state knows how powerful Bob Baffert is and that he wouldn't have to actually have any input. I don't know. I'm reading his statement. Anybody want to react to any of this? Now is the time to call. Or go back to hour number one and Bill Belichick and the way he handled Antonio Brown questions. Or Tom Brady. Brady's saying, you know what? It just doesn't involve me. And if it doesn't involve me, it doesn't involve me. And again, I want to point out, it did involve you, Tom. It involved you when you said you were 100% in with Antonio Brown. 1,000% in with Antonio Brown. 1,000,000% in with Antonio Brown. It couldn't involve you any more than 1,000,000%. But then it doesn't involve you at all when there's a lawsuit involving sexual assault.
Things that don't involve me, don't involve me.
But they do involve you. You were 100,000,000% in. So it involves you 100,000,000%, and now it doesn't. So again, one more time, if you're joining us late, for those of you in the back, I understand there's some questions they can't answer, but there are some questions they can answer, and they should. And should handle it more professionally than that. You know, that might have been funny back in the day when the hood was pulling that crap. Maybe back in the day, but not anymore, and not as it relates to that subject matter. Let's quickly go to Miami. Jeff in Miami. Jeff, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Rome, you are, oh my God, bro, 13 years I've been in jungle timeout. I haven't talked to you since you were down here on terrestrial stations. It's great to be on Sirius 206 listening to you all over again. I got thrown out of a police staff meeting for making an offhand comment. Some dude at the end of the table screams, "Rack 'em." We both get thrown out. My internet gets throttled by the chief. I can't get you on anything. The TV show doesn't work out for me because, you know, kids doing things and stuff in the evening. And 12, 13 years later, I retire. Wife buys me this sick ride, says, "Go have fun, kid." So I get out in the driveway bumping through these stations on XM. Here you are. And here I am. Man, it is so good to be back in the jungle listening to you again. Thank you, SiriusXM 206. Everybody, keep it there. Rip the knob off. And I'm out.
My man, Jeff in Miami. I love that. I mean, I hate that it took you 13 years to find me. God, it's like, it's 2019. I mean, I don't want to browbeat you for not being able to find the program, but it shouldn't take 13 years. I mean, it used to be way, way, way back in the day. First of all, Jeff, great call. Thank you very much. Glad you found us on Sirius. Pumped by that. I love the way he told that story, too, that he retired. The wife got him a sick ride and said, "Go out, kid, have some fun." And he dialed it up, bumping around the dial, found the jungle, hyped up, and back for the first time in 13 years. You know, if I were to go back 15 years, 20 years, and the business is the business, right? So if we were on a station somewhere and had been on that station for a while, or you had heard this show for a while on a particular station, and then the station flipped formats, or the station made a programming change that did not involve our show. Man, that was a kick in the nads back in the day. That was a hard thing.
Hey, business is business.
Business is business. Except the way things are right now, there are lots of different ways to get the show. You know, that goes back to that Terrence and Sierra Madre thing. I'm like, for so long, I thought Terrence, who was long one of the best callers this show has ever had, I thought he was dead. Like, people come and go. And people use the show and listen to the show, maybe call the show, and then just disappear. I understand that. But not a guy like Terrence. Like, Terrence had time. Terrence was available. Terrence used to call the show, and then all of a sudden just disappeared. Never to be heard from again. Never to be seen ever again. And I thought, this guy died. He passed away. This is terrible. Terrible. And then he shows up out of nowhere, years later, in the smack off, and I say, "Terrence, brother, it is so amazing to hear your voice. I can see you. Like, what happened? I have to know, dude, what happened?" "Well, you're not on LA anymore." Wow. That's the answer? I mean, yeah, that sucked. But there are so many different ways. Hawk, this is your fault. Pick up the headphones. There are so many different ways to get this show. Help them out. Like, if they're not listening because they can't find it, they're not going to hear the advice. But for somebody who says, I can't find the jungle. It's no longer on in my market. Where did you go, Rome? Are you on the radio? What do you tell these folks?
I mean, you can find anything you want, any show you want, any podcast you want, just by throwing it into the internet. I mean, it would come up right away that this show streams every day on radio.com. It is podcasted on demand via the Daily Jungle, which is on every single podcast format. It's on 200 different radio stations. The affiliate list is on jimrome.com. So you would have to actually try hard not to be able to find the show. And if you have a phone with an internet connection, you can listen live in your car just through your phone. And there are a million different devices to get it to play through your speakers, or you just listen through your phone speaker. It's hard not to listen to the show if you want to find the show at this point in time.
Or hope that your significant other waits for you to retire and, quote, buys you a sick ride and then tells you to go have some fun, kid. And then you start dialing around SiriusXM, and then you find the show that way, too.
Yeah, you can do that. Or you could be like me and my crappy 01 Camry back in the day that got towed. Rest in peace. I was listening to that show through a tape deck. I would listen to the Daily Jungle. I would throw a tape in that was connected to my phone, and then that tape would play through the speakers. You can listen to the show.
You got to work in a little bit, and not that hard either.
Yeah, you can listen to the show 100 different ways. Very easy.
Thank you very much, Adam Hawk. Yeah, he's good at that. See, Hawk's good at some things. That's a very simple explanation. And if you need more help, just reach out to us, either on Twitter or on the phones. We'll help you. If you know somebody who can't find the show, help them find the show. If you need help, let us help you help them. But whatever you do, do not throw up your hands like, oh, man, this sucks. I can't find the show. I can't find the show. The show must not exist. Man, they're going to carry me out of here, all right? The show does exist, and the show is still really good, and it's getting better. We are still here, still grinding, still want it badly, still love doing it. The show is still here. It's not that hard to find. If you need help, let us help you. That guy just said I went 13 years. I was in a 13-year jungle timeout. All right, so I got a question, and I would have asked him if I could. I wonder if you haven't heard the show in 13 years and you drop in today out of nowhere, 13 years later, what's it sound like? How's it feel? He sounded pretty happy. See, like, I don't want to be, I'm just going to put myself out there. I do not want to be that band that is still showing up for a paycheck in their 70s. And you got a bunch of people standing on a street corner, all nostalgic for that kinder, simpler time, happier time. And the band sounds like crap. I'm not doing that, man. I'm walking off before that happens. But that guy sounded pretty hyped. All right, when we come back, what I do, I want to talk about the new media, the podcast. Not so new anymore because everybody's got one. But I'm really proud of ours. Quality content, premium content, free. And I'll give you a taste of that when we return, and I will tell you how to find that. We are now 95 episodes in. I do a podcast, an original podcast, every single week. We have the Daily Jungle as a podcast every single day. Good day today. We have Minnesota head football coach P.J. Fleck. We had Jason Lockenfora. We had Michael Brantley back on. The Astros outfielder. And I've got one last segment for you right now. You could still get through. 1-800-636-8686. Open phones. And I want to reset episode 95 of the Jim Rome podcast. It dropped yesterday. My guest this week, Michael Young, former MLB-er. And he absolutely murdered it. Straight crushed it. 45-minute conversation. He showed up. He showed the hell out. And it really does not even matter if you're a baseball fan or not. If you're into high energy, a super engaging conversation, you're going to love this pod. Now, for those who don't know, Michael Young is a former 14-year MLB-er. He played 13 of those years with the Texas Rangers. He ripped a batting title there. He had a gold glove. 7-time All-Star. Owns practically every offensive record that there is in franchise history. So, 2 weeks ago, the ball club put his number 10 on the shelf. They retired it for good, which is an amazing honor when you consider who they have done that for in that organization. especially for a guy who's played among some of the best to ever do it. But this is how good Michael Young was. Now, for all the guys he shared the diamond with, he did say yesterday he had never had a more talented teammate, and he played with some amazing players, but he said pound for pound, the most talented guy he ever played with, and it wasn't close, was Josh Hamilton.
I have never seen a more talented baseball player than Josh Hamilton. I played with Alex Rodriguez. I played with Pudge Rodriguez. I played with Juan Gonzalez. I played with Adrian Beltre. I played against some unbelievably great players, from Derek Jeter to Mike Trout. Actually, Mike Trout's a freak, so I'm going to take him out because he's in the Josh category. But Josh is just he was 6'4", 245. He was our strongest player, our fastest player, our most instinctive, and I just never seen anything like it before. He's one of those guys that walks through the room, and even if you didn't know who he was, you'd be like, who's that guy? He's one of those guys. You know, it's almost like if you see Adrian Peterson in pads and a helmet, you're like, and you didn't know who he was, you'd be like, who the hell's that? LeBron James would be something similar. Like if someone saw him in his basketball uniform, it is just stop traffic kind of presence.
You know, Michael Young, like when that conversation started from a podcast standpoint, it was the exact same thing. Like that energy came through from the second the conversation started, and we had 45 minutes like that. In terms of Josh Hamilton, that's extremely high praise coming from Michael Young. It makes you wonder about how things would have been different, like what Josh Hamilton could have done had he not been plagued by so many demons, had he not been so busted up physically. So you heard him run off a list of some of the greats he's played with, and one of the names he mentioned was Alex Rodriguez. Remember back in 01, A-Rod came over from Seattle on a historic deal, that $252 million deal, remember? That made him the highest paid athlete in sports at that time. So I asked Michael what it was like standing on the other side of second and playing middle infield with the guy who, frankly, at that time was a legitimate, true rock star.
My first game in the big leagues, and boom, you know, I'm looking up at second. I'm playing second base, and Alex Rodriguez is a shortstop. That's a pretty special thing. I mean, he was by far. I mean, if you take Barry Bonds out of the, you know, Barry Bonds at the time was, you know, he was Mike Trout of his era, just a clear number one player in the game. But Alex was just a phenomenal baseball player. I think because of how big he was, you know, 6'3", 220, I think people lose sight of how good he was at shortstop at the time. Just a great defender, great all-around player, intense. And he was great to me. He really did a great job. Took me under his wing. One thing I loved about Alex was that he was a baseball junkie. All he wanted to talk about was baseball. We get on the plane, he's talking about baseball. We get on his plane, he's talking about baseball. It didn't matter. That's all he really wanted to talk about. And that was, again, that was right up my alley. I loved it. We've stayed in touch over the years. You know, Jennifer Lopez came in town the other day. My wife and I went. We hung out with the two of them. It was really, really cool. Just hung out a little bit after the show. I hadn't seen him probably in about a year or two. So it was good to kind of, you know, just get a chance to little rap a little bit, just chop things up. It was nice to see him. And she was very, very sweet. She was very cool, super, super humble. She had just put on an unbelievable show, man, for 3 hours. She was nonstop up there, and then all of a sudden she has to come in and talk to us. I'm sure she wanted to take a nap, but she was very gracious, very cool.
Such a good podcast. 16 years after they played together, they're still kicking it. They're still tight. Tight enough that they kick it at a J-Lo concert. I like that. Then long after A-Rod leaves Texas for the Yankees, Michael and the Rangers go to two straight World Series. And in 2011, of course, they suffered one of the most devastating losses ever, when they had the Cardinals down to their last strike in the bottom of the ninth, up in the game 7-5, and in the series 3-2. Obviously the kind of thing that could haunt a high-level athlete forever, if you let it, but Michael Young won't.
We lose in the 2011 World Series, and obviously it's very heartbreaking, but it teaches you a lot of things, man. You get your heart broken a little bit, you get up, you move on, and you try and make things better, and you keep working hard, and you don't let your guard down. That's pretty much what sports is all about. Everyone's kind of had that point in their sports career where you get your heart broken a little bit, but there's always an opportunity to bounce back. And there are times I think about it. You know, I think about, man, we've all talked about it. Like, what could we have done differently in that game to make the outcome have been different? Obviously, that's just a recipe for a little more madness on our end, but you know, I think you just learn to live with it. You know, it's, hey, man, like at the end of the day, like we put our best foot forward. We played really, really well. It didn't go our way, which sucks. But, hey, man, like welcome to, you know, you don't want to live with that kind of stuff. Don't play high-level sports. This is what you got to deal with sometimes. And it didn't go our way, but we were there. We put ourselves in that spot. But I wouldn't trade places with anybody. I love those guys. I love suiting up with them.
You see why this guy is so beloved and so well-respected? That's a world-class athlete with a world-class perspective. You can see where somebody like that might never want to talk about that ever again or be short or closed off, but not Michael Young. He was all about the learning experience, going to battle at the highest level with teammates that he loved. Speaking of love, nobody loves their school like the Gauchos love their school. I've said this a million times. I'll say it again. There is no place like UC Santa Barbara. And I don't expect anybody who did not go there to get that or understand that. And neither does Gaucho legend Michael Young.
Oh, man. Now we're getting to the fun stuff, Jimmy.
I know it.
You know, man, I try and talk to – I live here in Texas now, and I try and talk to people about UCSB, and they just don't get it. You know, it's like
right.
They're like, oh, okay, I understand. The weather in California is great. I'm like, no. The weather in Santa Barbara is even better than what you think it is. Well, you know, okay, there's a beach. I'm like, no, you don't get it. And they're like, oh, I understand. You wear shorts and flip-flops. I'm like, you don't get it, man. I'm like, it's just such a unique and special place for a college student and to spend some time there to grow up. It's, again, it's – there's no place like it. And I'm sure there's other schools out there that are fantastic, but they probably find a lot of similarities in other schools. There is no place like UCSB. I get the biggest kick out of them. People try and compare Pepperdine to UCSB.
No.
I'm like, man, we're talking about two different places here, brother.
35 minutes into a conversation about all the amazing things he did in Arlington, and then I switch up and say, let's talk IV, and Mike says, quote, now we're getting to the fun stuff, Jimmy. It's incredible. It's such a great moment. The kind that you can only get if you go there and join the Gaucho fam. Kids, study your asses off and hope that UCSB accepts you. Or pick up a bat and hope that legendary Gaucho baseball coach Andrew Checkitz accepts you. I could have talked to Michael about UCSB for hours and he would have been there for it, but I had to make sure that I got one story from him about a famous Gaucho, Barry Zito. Yes, Gaucho Zito. For one story. Thankfully, MY had thoughts, and he had a story for me.
Zito was a beauty.
He was.
So my junior year was my last year there, and Barry was a freshman. He gets on campus, and by the time he gets there, he's already our best pitcher. I mean, Barry was just awesome. I remember, like, when I was a junior, I'm not sure how I was when you were there, but it's basically just like, I didn't even lock my bike anywhere. My bike got ripped off. I'd take another one. I mean,
it was just
community bikes all over.
That's how it was when I was there.
So I remember one time Barry shows up at practice, and he was all pissed off because someone stole his bike. And he found his bike one day. He's going to class. I guess he's walking. He finds his bike and he hides in a bush for this dude to show up. It's like 6 hours. I don't know if the guy's like a TA, if he's just working there or what. And he literally stayed there for 6 hours in a bush trying to find this guy that jacked his bike. The guy finally came out and classic Barry, like, shakes his hand, hugs him, and then he says, oh, by the way, that's my bike. I'm going to need that back.
Oh, dude, that is incredible. I was going to ask if he cold cocked him, but he didn't. He just said, yeah, I'd like my bike back, please.
Yeah, classic Gaucho fashion. Just gives him a handshake, a hug, probably invited him to a party. He's like, yeah, but, you know, all things being equal, I'd like my bike back.
How about that? Haven't I said that for years? That we all jacked each other's bikes at UCSB, and then when it happened, nobody got pissed. They just got even, except apparently Barry Zito, who found his bike, camped in the bushes for 6 hours, waited to tell the culprit that it was not cool, but he forgave him, but he'd like his bike back. That was just a small piece of that podcast. The episode is so good. And if it sounds like I'm fired up, it's because I'm fired up. Check out Ep95 right now. It's on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, JimRome.com, or use the link that I've pinned at the top of my Twitter page. You're going to love this episode. Michael Young, all class. All class. Huge call brought to you by Dell. Dell, a semi-annual sale, saves businesses up to 45% on computers with Intel Core processors. Just call 877-BUY-DELL, 877-BUY-DELL, or visit dell.com/businessdeals. Lots of show. Thank you for listening. Check out that episode, Ep 95 with Michael Young. See you right back here tomorrow. We're out.